Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 160, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, give ear unto my cry, and to my voice attend. Though far from home and from thy house, to thee my prayers ascend. 1 through 4 of Psalter 160.
Thank you. portion of God's Word that we wish to read this morning, you can find recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, but first we will read the Holy Law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 26, beginning by verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes, and the elders of the people, unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world. There shall also this that this woman had done be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master said, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dipped his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for him that if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Henny van Hagenbos, who went to the Netherlands once again yesterday with her husband, as her mother is very low. Also, Marietta van Hagenbos, who was in the hospital this week with concerns for the unborn child. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou who art almighty, all-knowing, all-sufficient, Thou who art righteous, Thou who art just, Thou who art also merciful, Thou who hast given unto us Thy holy word, the revelation of Thy will, and from a never begun eternity, that Thou mayest reveal unto us something of who that Thou art, even after we have lost that knowledge of Thee in our deep fall, in our father Adam. Thou hast created us so good and upright, but we have sought out many inventions, and we have fallen away so far from Thee, so that all our love for Thee is disappeared, and all our desire for that obedience to Thy commandments, and that is no longer living within our hearts. And now we do suffer the consequences of our own sin. Oh, then we have sung together when troubles overwhelm my heart, and then Thou wilt hear my cry. Lead me to that rock that higher is than I. Oh, that we may also be given to know something of that misery, and that is because of our own sin. Not only the consequences, but also that sin itself. Oh, that Thou may show to us how evil that it is, that it may become for us a burden, that we sin against such a good-doing God as Thou art. Oh, that we could not do without Thee anymore. Lord, Thou knowest that by nature it is not so, though that we have been under Thy word our life long, from the days of our childhood, that we have not in our heart an affection for Thee, a love for Thee, and no burden, and because of our own sin. And so we go on in the midst of this world, traveling to our end, so careless, and so taken up with that which is passing quickly away. Oh, then it is so necessary that we receive from Thee that which we cannot give unto ourselves. Oh, it is so necessary that Thou would be the first one in our life, because there is no one that seeketh after God. Know that we are all gone astray, and we are turned every one after our own way, and except that Thou dost begin with us, then there shall be no beginning, and our end that shall be that eternal destruction which we have so well deserved. Oh, that Thou may remember us then, Lord. Is it not Thy holy day, and when Thou gatherest us together in the way of Thy providence, still giving unto us a Sabbath day, and still granting even in an outward way, and that we may have a desire to come up unto Thy house of prayer. Oh, then it is so necessary to receive from Thee that greater blessing, the application upon it, and that Thy word may come unto us not only in an outward calling, but that it may come unto us with that irresistible, with that effectual power of Thy Holy Spirit, to bring the arrow of Thy word into our hearts, and that it may strike within, and that we may say, carry me out of the battle, for I am sore wounded. Lord, Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and Thou art able, and Thou hast given Thy day and Thy word for such a purpose. Oh, for what cause dost Thou call us together in this morning hour? Oh, will it be only that it may be a savor of death unto death, to testify against us and our children, and that we have heard the way, and that we have no desire to walk therein. Oh, so it shall be, except that thou dost come. Wilt thou look on us then in this morning hour? Wilt thou anoint us with that fresh oil, and that we cannot miss as thy servant to bring thy word, and to bring both law and gospel? And wilt thou give a renewing of that work of thy Holy Spirit in the life of thy own children? Lord, it is thy church, and thou wilt take care of thy church even unto the end. Oh, that thou may also increase that number among us, amongst young and old together. Oh, that we may receive something of that unction of thy Spirit in this day, that it may be for a purpose, and that thou would go forth from pew to pew and from heart to heart, and that thou would touch our hearts, and that thou with the power of thy Spirit may raise us from the dead, granting us a new life. Oh, thy name would be so honored and glorified. And then thy name would be magnified in the name of thy dear Son and the name of thy Holy Spirit. And then that work which thou hast accomplished, even upon that cursed tree, and which we do remember in these weeks, and then that work, then there shall be room for that work in the life, in the heart of a man. O Lord, there is no room by nature, but thou art able to plow up that fallow ground, and thou art able to give that seed therein to fall, and to take root downward, and to bring forth fruit upward unto thee. And what can we say unto thee? Because we have left thee days without number, and we are so undeserving of the least of thy notice or thy attention, that thou shouldest look upon us in this morning hour. And thou knowest our life even from its beginning, but thou knowest our life also in the week that is gone by. Oh, thou knowest our life even in this very morning hour. And thou knowest the iniquity, the sin. Thou knowest all that is short of thy glory. Oh, then it is so impossible, Lord, from our sight, to earn the least blessing. But thou hast done it in thine only begotten Son. Is it not what thou sayest in thy holy word? Oh, is it not such a finished work? Is it not a work accomplished by thee from the beginning to the end? So that thou sayest, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Oh, remember thy children. Wilt thou grant also in their hearts a renewal of that work? Send forth thy Holy Spirit, Lord. Put thou in thy hand by the hole of the door, and leave thou a little myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Oh, raise up thy bride once again, and then she shall go out to seek thee. Oh, then she shall be given to find thee. Then she shall rejoice in thee. Then she shall hold thee and not let thee go. Oh, that thou may remember, and that thou may build up thy walls of Zion, to give instruction in that way of free and sovereign grace, and that is so to thy honor and to thy glory, that is so to the rest and peace of thy children, when it may be received by a true and living faith. Oh, that thou may give more of it unto us. Oh, that thou may open thy word more and more. It is from the beginning unto the end, full of the riches of Jesus Christ. Oh, then it is a faith which may believe in thee. When thou givest it an exercise by thy Holy Spirit, then they receive everything, Lord, and thy name receives all the honor and all the glory. Look on us in all our ways, many needs and cares in this life, those that are sick, those that draw near even unto the gates of death, her a relative of some in our midst, a mother, a grandmother, Lord, that Thou may remember her in Thy mercy as she has come to a great age. But yet she also must die. Then it is so necessary that she receives that grace of Thee within her heart. Oh, that Thou may look upon her in mercy, and all those that are about her, and then also a great grandchild, even yet in the womb. And then there are concerns also, that Thou would make it well, and that Thou would supply in all this need also. Give those young parents a place upon their knees before Thee, and that Thou may supply in all their need, and that they may experience that Thou livest. Oh, that their hearts also may be drawn to Thee. Remember all the afflicted and all the sick ones, those in the midst of us and those that are relatives. Oh, that those that are in the midst of our community, wilt Thou look on all that receive treatments for the body, treatments for the mind. Bless and sanctify all these ways unto the heart. Be with the widow, the widows, the widower, and all those that mourn the loss of their loved ones, of mothers, of fathers, of children, of relatives. Lord, that Thou may be near and dear unto all that mourn. And be Thou a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Look Thou upon all young and old. Lord, when Thy word will go forth in this morning as Thou wilt give it, and then we can only beseech Thee for Thy help. A little strength for our body. A little of the unction of Thy Holy Spirit. The anointing oil. Oh, a little. In the midst of us also of an ear to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand. Oh, that also the children and the youth, they may be given a heart in this morning hour to receive that word of truth, because they also have to die. We know not what a day may bring forth. Oh, that the concern of our souls may be a foremost in the life of young and old. Look then upon us in Thy mercy in this hour. Keep us from all sin and evil, from all danger, from all harm. And wilt Thou Thyself be in our midst as one that serveth. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 415, stanzas 4 and 5. Good and upright is Jehovah. In His dealings evermore, sinners are by Him instructed in the way untrod before. We announce that, the Lord willing, today and tomorrow the last catechism classes will be held. The Lord willing, also this coming week, the prayer day collection will be for the Calvin Christian School, unless it is otherwise marked. There will be only one collection bag. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Psalter 415, stanzas 4 and 5. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion that was read to you, Matthew 26, and thereof the first part of the 31st verse. Matthew 26, verse 31, the first part. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. So far, the words of our text. The church offended because of Christ. First, the warning of this offense. Second, the substance of this offense, what that offense was. And third, the necessity of this offense. The church offended because of Christ. First, the warning. Second, the substance. And third, the necessity of this offense. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. Offended. What is that to offend? To offend, that is to lay a stumbling block in the way of someone else. That is to lay an impediment in their way so that that person is stumbling, so he trips upon it and he falls over it. Thus, in a spiritual way or in a moral way, that is an enticement to sin. There is one that gives offense. There is one that lays that impediment in the way, that puts that stumbling block there. And then there is the one who is receiving, or he is taking that offense. That is the one who is actually stumbling, that one who is tripping over that stumbling block. So we read of Satan that he has put a stumbling block in the way of our first parents, so that they have stumbled and that they have fallen. We are, congregation, responsible for one another, that we do not give and put an offense, be an offense, to put a stumbling block in the way of one another. Because when we do so, then we also become involved in that guilt of that sin of our neighbor. Thus, Cain said to the Lord, he said, am I my brother's keeper? And what is the answer to that, children? Am I my brother's keeper? The answer to that is yes. We are the keepers of one another. Paul rebuked Peter. We read when he was in Antioch. Why? Because Peter was an offense. That is, that Peter ate with the Gentiles. That was no problem. But we read when James came and the brethren that Peter has separated himself from those Gentiles and would no longer eat with them. And we read that Barnabas was also carried away with this dissimulation. Thus Barnabas, he has taken this offense that was that stumbling block that was laid in his way, and he has fallen with it. How careful has to be our walk, that no one stumbles over what we lay in their way. And then it is especially those who are weak. They stumble very easily. And as parents, that is especially for us because we are leading those who are weak. They are children. And they are following us. Thus it is so easy for us as parents actually to be an offense unto our children when we are leading them in ways in this world wherein they themselves will stumble, wherein they will fall, and wherein they will sin. How careful then has to be our walk, young people. We are guilty also when we are leading one another into sin. When you are going to the bar and when you are giving that to someone else and when you are leading them in those ways of sin, then we are an offense. And then we are guilty in their sin. Thus we offend when we are stirring up the corruptions, the natural corruptions that are living in the hearts of one another. And we offend also when we are in that place of authority as parents, as teachers, as office bearers, and we do not sharply enough rebuke the sin of those that are under our care. As Eli, he was an offense. And then he laid a stumbling block in the way when he did not severely rebuke his children. An offense to offend. It is possible that we give offense, but that offense is not taken. That no one takes offense. That no one stumbles over it. So we think of the Lord Jesus that he said to Peter. He says, "Thou art an offense unto me." And what was that offense? Well, Peter said to him, "Not so, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." What shall not? That he should suffer? That he should die? And thus the Lord Jesus says, "Peter, you are laying before me something wherewith that a man would stumble." And of course, the Lord Jesus did not stumble at it, but he still says, "You are an offense unto me." Why? Because I also have a human nature. And that human nature of mine, that is a human nature just like yours, that also recoils from that suffering that is before me. And therefore, though the Lord Jesus did not stumble at it, and still Peter was responsible for that stumbling block and that he has laid before him. Thus it is possible that we are an offense, that we lay that stumbling block and that someone is offended. It is possible we lay that stumbling block and that offense that is not actually taken. But it is also possible that we do not actually lay that stumbling block, that we are in ourselves no offense, that we actually give no offense, and yet that offense is taken. Thus the Lord Jesus, he said to the Pharisees that he was the Son of God. And the Pharisees, they have taken offense at this, but there was no reason and that the Pharisees should have taken offense. They stumbled at it. was Christ responsible then for that stumbling of the Pharisees? He was not. Why not? Because he could do no otherwise. Because he is the Son of God, and because he could say no otherwise. Sometimes it is better to forbear even with lawful things so that we do not offend, so that we do not place a stumbling block before our neighbor. Thus Paul, he says, if meat make my brother to offend, if that is a stumbling block to him, then I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. What does that mean? Well, we know that the Gentiles, when they ate, then they often offered that meat unto their idols. And Paul, he says, well, that means nothing. What is an idol, boys and girls? An idol, that's a piece of wood or a piece of metal. That is nothing. And Paul says that means nothing for that meat that's given to us by the Lord to eat. And they can offer it to idols, but an idol is nothing. So that means nothing. It was okay for him to eat, but there were others that whose conscience that was weaker. They could not see this. And they thought that they sinned in eating that meat that was offered to idols. And Paul says, well, then I will forbear. It is not wrong, but I will not do it because not of my conscience, but I will do that then for the conscience of my neighbor. Paul circumcised Timothy not because circumcision is anything, but because they all knew that his father was a Greek, and because that would be for them an offense unto those who were weak. And Paul, he would have that word of God to be able to go forth among that people, that they would receive it, and so to take away that offense. And then he had Timothy circumcised. But we read about Titus, that Titus could not be compelled to be circumcised. And why not? Because of a certain men who came in privately to spy out our liberty. That is, they were not weak. No, they were enemies. And they said, circumcision, that is necessary. And Timothy says, no, then I will not do it, because it was not a stumbling block there for the weak, but that was for the upholding of the truth. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. What does Christ say? Does he say, I am going to offend you this night? No. He says, I will not give you reason for offense. But he says, you are going to be offended. You are going to take offense at me this night. You are going to stumble. You are going to fall this night. Not one of you, but all of you. Thus we have the warning of Christ that he is saying to them, I am not giving you reason. Thus you ought not to stumble at what is going to happen tonight. He warns them. How do those disciples receive that warning? Well, first we have Peter. Because Peter, he was always the first one. And he says, though all men should be offended because of thee. Yet will not I. Yet he says, I will not be offended. I will not fall. I will not stumble over anything concerning thee. And the Lord Jesus had been speaking to them what was coming. That was his suffering, his death. He had spoken to them about that enemy that was coming. And Peter, he says, no. What did he lack? He lacked self-knowledge. Peter thought he was strong. But Peter did not realize that he was weak. How is that with you, young people? And all of us? Do you think you are strong? And we do not realize how weak we are. Because one thing to set sail over the sea, when that sea is calm, when there is no wind, but when we come out on that sea, that wide open sea, and that wind begins to blow, and then we find out how small that we are. And we find out the might of that wind and of those waves. And that we are not able with our own strength to subdue it, to fight against it. And so it is, young people. Do you ever find that out? That it is when we are in the midst of that temptation that we find out that we are not as strong as we thought we were. And therefore the Lord instructs his people to pray, Lord, lead us not into that temptation. And therefore we are instructed by Solomon that we are staying far away from those temptations. Thus, Peter, he thought he was strong, and he did not realize how weak that he was. Actually, he thought he was stronger than everyone. He thought he was stronger even than all the rest of the disciples. Though all men should be offended, though all men should stumble, though all men should fall, yet will not I. The Lord Jesus tells him the opposite. He says, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter will not believe it. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. He will not receive the word of the Lord. How must Peter learn it? He must learn it by experience. He must learn it by a very bitter experience. After the Lord Jesus was risen, we read that the Lord Jesus alludes to this again. And he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, he did not say that. He said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But he did not say more than these. Now that was all done. And if you read it over, then you find that the Lord Jesus, he does not mention that to him again. That is now Peter. How was that now for the rest of the disciples? We say they hopefully and they are now better than Peter. But what do we read? Do they receive that warning? Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. No, they all do not believe him. Thus we see it is not just Peter, but it is a common ailment. They will all have to learn it the same way. Because what will we read? Then we will read that all the disciples, they forsook him and fled. That is now the reality. That is how it is. That is the truth. And that must be now the experience of their life. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Why? Because they were offended. Why were they offended? They were offended because of him. That is our second thought. What was it? Because of him. What did he do that has offended them so deeply? What did he do? You know that, children? You know what he did? He gave himself. He gave himself. Just like that. Freely. Willingly. Right into the hands of his enemies. Those disciples, they were so glad. That enemy came, and the Lord Jesus, he said to them, whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth, I am he. And then what happened? Then we read that they fell backward to the ground. Oh, then there was something, just a little bit of that divine power of Christ that was manifested to his disciples and to all that enemy, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Roman soldiers, that there was no power that was able to come against him, and with one word, then he is able to bring every one of them onto the ground. And those disciples, they are so glad. But then the Lord Jesus, he dismisses those disciples. He says, if therefore ye seek me, then let these go their way. But those disciples, they will not be dismissed. No, those disciples, they are ready to fight. They are going to fight for their master. They are ready to die with their master, they have said. And they are taking out their swords. They are so sure to win. Because they fight a right battle. They are so certain of this. Oh, they are certain of the victory because of the promise of the Lord. That is the Son of David. They have cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And now that time that is come, and they are going to defeat those Roman soldiers. And when those Pharisees, they will come on that side, then they shall be defeated also. And thus those disciples, they are ready to fight. They are ready, they have said, to give their life for the Lord Jesus. In the name of Christ, Peter even succeeds in wounding that enemy, cutting off that ear of the servant of the high priest Malchus. And then, what does the Lord Jesus do? The Lord Jesus turns to Peter and he says, put that sword away. Put thy sword into its sheath. That they take the sword, they will perish with the sword. And then he even heals the enemy. Then he even cures Malchus. And then what do we read? Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They are offended. Why? Because of him. They are offended because of his passivity. They are offended because he restrained them from fighting, that they may receive that victory that they were looking for the king. They are offended because he restrained himself. His own power that he showed that he had against that enemy. They are offended because he just walked into the hands of that enemy. That he gave himself willingly, meekly, like a lamb going to the slaughter. That is a passivity they never expected. They never expected it. When they said, we will die with thee, well, they thought that Christ was going to defend himself and they would be his helpers to help to bring him to that kingdom. And if they would die, they were ready to suffer in that warfare that he may come to that kingdom. And they never thought that they would be reprimanded because they would fight for him. And what can they do now? What can they do anymore? Yeah, if Christ will not defend himself, and if he tells us that we are not allowed to fight for him either, then what can we do? Then he, is there love for him? Oh yes, they loved him. But congregation, there is still an offense. They say there is only one thing we can do, that is to try to escape with our own life. That we would not die. And, well, there is no other way. Then he is going to have to go himself. And so they leave him. And all the disciples forsook him and fled. Thus, the passive obedience. Passive obedience of Christ that was an offense to his disciples. They stumbled at it. They forsook him. They fled. Why? Because they did not understand the necessity of that passive obedience. Let us sing Psalter 109, 1 and 2. The offering on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart thou givest unto me. 1 and 2 of Psalter 109. Yeah. our last thought, the necessity of this offense. And we do not say the necessity of this offense because they needed to be offended. We do not say the necessity of this offense because there was any right in their offense or that they were rightly offended, because they were not. But we only say this, that the Lord Jesus could not comply with the thoughts and the desires that were living in the heart of those disciples. That is, that the Lord Jesus must go forward, even though he knew that his disciples would be offended, even though he knew that his disciples were going to stumble at it and they were going to fall, that he could not do otherwise. And why not? Well, Christ told them beforehand. He said, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." Thus, the Lord says, it is written. And that is the words of Zechariah. We can read it in chapter 13, verse 7. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Thus, it says, saith the Lord of hosts, that is, saith God himself, he says, against my shepherd, that is my son, and against the man that is my fellow. And thus the Lord Jesus, and when he quotes this, he says, it says, I will smite the shepherd. Who will smite that shepherd? That the Lord himself says, I will smite the shepherd. Thus my disciples, it is not that enemy that smites me. It is not that enemy that comes against me. But it is my Father. Therefore he says to Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Christ knew that they would be offended. Christ knew that they would stumble at it. But he could not stay for this. And why not? Because there was a punishment that had to be borne. But the disciples did not see this. The disciples did not see the necessity of that passive obedience of Christ. The priestly work of Christ, that is not that first work that is seen by God's children to be necessary. No, they see a necessity of that prophetical work. That is, they desire to be instructed by him. They feel their ignorance. They have a desire even for that kingly work, that he may rule over them. But it is that priestly work that people still do not see. that they do not see the necessity of. There are two obediences of Christ that were necessary. Our young people can tell us what they are. That is the active obedience and the passive obedience. And you can learn that, young people. You can learn that in catechism in one lesson. But God's children do not learn this in one day. No, that takes time, because in the beginning of the life of the people, there actually is no need for Christ at all. Because in that love that Spirit is planting in the heart of the people, that desires to be reconciled unto their Maker, their Creator again, there is still lacking so much self-knowledge. And what do that people think? They think they are so strong. And they need to learn by experience that they are so weak. And that is in the experiencing of that attempt to fulfill the requirements of life. What are the requirements of life? Just ask. Just ask that newborn soul. What are the requirements of life? Oh, then he reads that in the Word of God. Because David, he says, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. And that is the whole Word of God. But there is in it also the commandments of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord. And in the beginning of that way, then there is so much that dependence upon my own strength. And what has to happen? You can say all you want to the people, but it must be learned by experience that we are so weak, and that flesh is weak, and that there is no ability to fulfill the requirements of that law up to that standard that the Lord is requiring for life. What is it? That is a perfect obedience. And it is only in the experience of that impossibility that the revelation of the active obedience of Christ that becomes so sweet. There is a people, they become so glad that they don't have to do it, that it is done. Oh, to see the perfection of that obedience of that Son of God. And for this sight, to lift up the heart with joy, with expectation, even for one moment in our life. All that active obedience. But there is more. Why? Because connected to the disobedience of that law is what? That is the curse. The curse. And then we can fulfill, or that law can be fulfilled for us from the beginning to the end. But when that curse is not taken away, then we are still lost. It is impossible. And how can that curse only be removed? Not by the active obedience of Christ. The complete fulfillment of that law of God in perfection from beginning to its end does not remove the curse. What only removes the curse? That is the payment of the penalty. That is the law that says he that disobeys, he dies. And when that disobedience is there already, then that death is there. And thus, it is only the accomplishing of that punishment, the suffering of that punishment, that is able to take away the curse for that people. God must have his justice satisfied. And therefore, our fathers say we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. The disciples, they do not understand this yet. Well, because everything does not belong to the beginning of the way. And therefore those disciples, they are offended with that passive obedience of Christ. They are offended, they are stumbling at it because they do not see why this is necessary. It is a wonder that Christ, he does not give in to his disciples just because they do not know it, just because they do not see it, and just because even though he warns them, they are stumbling at it, he must go through. Why? Because that price that has to be paid. That justice has to be satisfied, and that payment that has now to come to an end. And there is a second thing, and that is this, that Christ, he is the only one that is able to do this. He is the only one that has the strength, that has the fortitude to go forward and to pay that price. Disciples cannot do it. Is that not so evident? Their spirit is willing. Because they say, we are ready to die with thee. But their flesh, that is weak. And as soon as they come in the battle, as soon as they see the soldiers, as soon as that storm comes and the first sight of death, well, when there was still hope for victory, yes, then they are ready. Because then they see that they are going to overcome that enemy. But to be overcome, for that enemy to receive the victory, for them to actually go into death, for them to receive the punishment, for them to receive the curse, no. The disciples, they cannot enter in here. Then they forsake. Then they flee. Then they are afraid even of a maid. When it comes to the payment for that sin, when it comes to the payment of that price, what is necessary? the divine nature. That divine nature is necessary. That it may uphold that human nature. Because that human nature says no. Also Christ's. Christ too. A real human nature. Recoiling also. The same as those disciples. But then there was in him also that divine nature. And that divine nature, so in complete union with that human nature, that there is not a moment's hesitation, but that he is going against that recoiling of that human nature, which is so natural to the human nature. And that is why he said to the enemy, he says, if you seek me, then let these go their way. And that is why he said to his disciples, whither I go, ye cannot follow me now. Cannot. Who can fathom what that suffering was? The suffering in the body, the suffering in the mind, the suffering especially in the soul, that is the wrath of God that was to come against him. Our catechism that asks why must he in one person be also very God, that he might by the power of his Godhead sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Righteousness and life. Why? Because that curse that is removed. Because that penalty that is paid. All the wages of sin is death. That is why he went forward. He went forward so willingly. That is why he went forward in obedience unto the will of his own Father, saying, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. O my God, yea, thy law that is within my heart. And so there is no more curse. It is congregation removed for that people from that law so far away. It is as far as the east is from the west. Then Peter, he can curse and he can swear, to the grief of his heart, that he does not know the man. But it will not keep him out. Because there is no more curse. Because the punishment is paid. Then the disciples, they can forsake him and flee. To the grief of their own heart. But it will never keep them out of the kingdom of God. No, there is nothing, nothing that can separate that people from that love of Christ. There is nothing that can ever come in between from their own side, from the side of man. There is nothing from the side of the Lord, because otherwise the death of Christ had lost all its value for the church, and that is impossible. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? O congregation, we need to be engrafted. We need to be engrafted into him. because there is no salvation outside of that Son of God. The Lord Jesus, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Oh, it is by faith. It is by faith that that church is receiving everything. In one moment, from him. But do you know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, "You will not come unto me that you might have life." And that is now the reality. That is now the truth. Why? Because he is an offense unto us. If we had to add the smallest part to our own salvation, the smallest part, it would be so, so impossible. That is what Christ taught to his disciples. That is what they had to learn by experience. But they do not need to add the smallest part. Not the smallest part. Because it is finished. Because he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. That is the rest. That is the peace. That is the consolation. That is the salvation of his people." Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou wilt finish perfectly what thou for me hast undertaken. So thy servant may say, O give it also upon the heart and lips of thy people. Thou wilt finish it. What thou hast begun, what thou hast done, that is done in perfection, never more to be lost. A curse so far removed from thy church that there is no more perishing. Oh, open thy word. Open thy word. Show us our sin. Show us that curse. Reveal thyself. Forgive our sins and all our manifold transgressions. Bring us safely home with desire together again in this afternoon hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 280:1-4. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me, bless his name. Bless Jehovah, and forget not all his mercies to proclaim. 1:4 of 280. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.